You're listening live to TNS Radio. Folks, if you'd be good enough to let me know in the chat room if I'm coming out loud and clear, and I can adjust accordingly. So I just have to log in there now. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. Coming to you live from Mullingar tonight. I'm a little get-together down in the Reverend Rasher's abode. I'm joined here with a special guest, our guest interviewee here for the moment. He's sitting right beside me, so I'm going to take him. Say hello and greetings, everybody. This is how will we talk about you tonight? What will we address you as? We address you as Mr. X tonight.
As is.
Okay, so you got me. Sound, all systems go. Excellent.
Can they hear us?
Yeah, they can hear us.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's a special occasion here tonight, but nobody's put a drink in my hand.
Hamburgers and chicken.
We just arrived. Can somebody get me something to put this in? Yeah, there we go. Okay, well, good to have the signal up and running. Okay, everything's gone. Recording. Yeah. So, no, we haven't started drinking yet, folks. So, just about to. Thank you, Joe. And I'll do it. Don't worry. I can do this and do that. There you go. We're here with Del Claw as well. Joe, the dude. Bides, of course, don't you know? And he's normally on. What day are you normally on? Wednesday afternoon, 3 to 6. There's allegations going around here. And I don't know about guests just yet, folks. I was hoping to have Michael Tellinger on. I'm just going to go and check my Skype and see if I can actually get that sorted. A lot of messages coming in there. Got a message from Rob Menard. Okay, I'll go back to Rob later. No, not seeing anything from Michael Tellinger at the moment. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play, as soon as I'm only here, folks, I'm going to play a song or two, and as soon as I get this sorted, I'll be back to you. Okay, and we're live. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. According to the mic levels, everything should be okay. So I'm just going to move this here so we can see what's been said in the chat box. So coming to you live from Mullingar, folks, this is the Travelling Roadshow aspect. And as I say, Mr. T is sitting here beside me. And we were wondering what will we have a little chinwag about. So how about the first book of jurisprudence? That's a good book. I recommend to a lot of guys that they should have a read of the first book of jurisprudence. But I was telling people the other night, I've read the book I think about 9 times. But how many times would you reckon you've read it?
I don't know. I got a lot out of it. I can't really remember word for really much about it now. I just use all the material that was in it. It was kind of hard to explain. They put a lot of rules and procedure and principles of law out there, and then you find out a lot about different divisions of private law and at law and in law. You know, there's just millions of different aspects to use, but it just boils down to principles and the rules of the court procedures.
Well, okay, let's talk about something that I found interesting when you were talking about it there the other week. If somebody finds themselves in a position where there's, you know, a guy in a high chair, are you before him or are you in front of him?
Whatever you want to be.
Okay, well, I'm not. Let's explore.
Because it deals with the time element.
Right, so before would seem to allude to the idea that, you know, if there's a resolution or a sentence or, you know, an outcome, that you're before him, therefore after you. You know, he holds the door open.
It's his courtroom, so you're before him. He wants you to say that he's before, you know, that you're before him.
So you're in first.
I go for being in front of him.
Okay, so how would you let a guy, how do you think you might let somebody know that you are in front of them as opposed to before them?
Because it deals with time.
Okay, but how would you let him know?
They convict you on time. Who, the judge?
Yeah, the man, the guy.
No, I'd ask him, somebody's going to call your name out, right?
Generally.
And it won't be the judge.
No.
When you get up there, he might ask you, what your name is.
Uh-huh. And I think a lot of people kind of crash and burn on that one. They start telling him, I'm not this, I'm not that, causing a dispute. Mm-hmm. Instead of asking the simple question, which is, well, are you addressing me? Because if he's not addressing you, what the hell are you doing talking? Why are you yakking if he's not addressing you?
It depends on who says it. Judge those things, like everything in there. He might ask you if you object to it. He might ask you what you're objecting about.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be what you want to tell him is, if you understand, that name doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the state. So why would you want to give him evidence on the record?
Well, here's something.
The name belongs to you, because that's what he wants to do, get you into.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of the name, when they say, you see, I know there's this guy out there, he calls himself Batman. And if they say, or are you Mr. Such and Such, he stands and he says something along the lines of, are you using the name as identification? And I said to him, but he didn't ask name. He said, are you Mr. Such and Such?
No, that's a title.
Yeah, he's throwing out a title. Now, yeah, but if you stand up and talk about a name, you've just granted subject matter jurisdiction, have you not? Over name.
Yeah.
So that's a bad thing to say.
Because that's evidence on the record.
Yeah.
And that's all they have to do is get evidence on the record, just like when this man walked in the other day, they were already reading evidence in the record. He just started when the guy walked through the door. They brought him in handcuffs, took him off before he walked in the door. They used to take the cuffs off you. And they were starting to read stuff in the record, and he says, I object. The judge says, what are you objecting about? He said, well, he came in here without a witness. He said, well, he's the state. He's the guards. He said, well, as a civil criminal, the judge went ballistic.
Okay, let's deal with that. You see, subject matter jurisdiction, folks, they need you to, well, I don't know about need, but they certainly sure as hell seem to attempt to engineer it so that you grant something to them. Because they don't have it till you grant it to them. Because you're and only you can grant it for you, right?
You got to volunteer consent or assent. Consent or consent is the same as volunteering.
And do you think people understand how subtle and how easy it is to mess up?
Oh, it's easy. They can't. They practice that every day.
Mm.
We don't. We do it two or three times in our lifetime, maybe.
Yeah.
And we're just. They say, "Well, be polite." Well, be polite, but you gotta have discipline with your politeness. So it all deals with conduct and character. Everything. The law is based on that. Okay, a little bit.
Okay.
That's fine, thanks. So, it's mainly if they're getting evidence on the record, to enter a judgment on you. That's what they're doing.
So why this idea?
So you're giving him, he's waiting for you to give him a motion.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes when you go in and watch him, he'll say, well, greenhorn solicitors or barristers, they're young fellows, just training more or less. And they'll say, well, the judge will say, well, if you don't give me a motion, I can't make a decision and enter a judgment on this or default. Well, he's looking for the defendant even to give him a motion. So, he can't do anything until you give him a motion. Or consent or, volunteer. They call it consent or assent, okay?
Well, what they do is they get to judge, they basically judge your conduct. And if your conduct and character and your demeanor lends itself to you appearing to agree with them, then they make an assumption based on that, yeah?
Even if they say something and you stay silent, well, that's a presumption that you're getting, endorsing what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
and that's evidence that goes on the record.
Okay, can we talk about just that for a second? Evidence. That's a word. When I've been looking up evidence, It appears, it's one of those, what they call a chameleon-hued word, I think, would be the way some might describe it. Because I tried to exactly find out precisely whatever
what
it was.
What it is or what
and
it
I
was.
I can't actually find out what exactly what they think it is. Can you enlighten me in any way?
Exactly, that's what they think.
Evidently.
That's evidence.
Evidently it's evidence, evidence. But that's about it, yeah.
And it's all true.
Well, yeah.
Everything is the truth. So it must be some kind of evidence.
Oh, that cleared that right up. Not.
Right.
Okay, so.
What do you think? Ben, okay. you got an idea.
Right, I got an idea. Here's an idea. I've been talking to people, talk about contracts. And I've been saying to people, okay, and they hold up, you know, like a piece of paper or something. I say, well, that's not the contract. That's evidence that there may be a contract. Possibly.
That's true. Very true.
Right. Well, people have been in the habit of calling the actual document the contract, whereby it's your behavior and your conduct that forms the contract. You know, when you perform on an agreement, that's contract, to us at least. And if we, how would you say?
You're probably confounded.
Right. Okay, go on. So, for example, I mean, Joe was over here. Hey, Joe, come on
He's
over here and
file
say hello.
Papers.
Come on, we're going to drag Joe into this conversation too.
They said, "Well, you know, we can't give you a valid, you know, certificate or because of it's confounded."
Okay, so
and the clerks and all, you know, even the clerks in the court will tell you that you're coming in and you're confounding. You know, you can't help, you know, they use the word confounded.
Okay, so okay, well, let's take a step back for a sec, just for a sec. So let's say now me and Joe here. Joe, I say to Joe, hey Joe, you know, I don't trust you, you don't trust me. Let's do some business though. So we've no trust, right? But we want to do. Hey, even drug dealers do business, right? They don't trust each other, but they do business. Okay, so let's say you're a drug dealer and I'm the guy who wants to buy the drugs. See, so. I got the money and you got the drugs, but we need to swap them, but we want to do same time, yeah, because there's no trust, yeah. But let's pretend now that we do have a
mutual agreement.
Yeah.
Mutual agreement.
Well, it's mutual, right? Yeah, it's the beginnings, if you will, of this mutual trust. So let's say we've done this deal 10 times now. You've given me the drugs and I've given you the money. So then, on the 11th time.
Oh, that's really a money. Right? Our money.
So let's say now we get to the 11th time, Joe. And this time, I turn up and say, Joe, I haven't got the money. Will you still give me the drugs? And I promise you, I'll give you the money next week. Right? Joe's nodding instead of speaking.
No,
we're on a microphone here, Joe,
no,
they can't see us.
You can have it.
Okay.
I'll give my people to contact your people and we'll do lunch.
Okay. So peoples are going to meet.
Yeah.
Now,
what?
Okay, well, let's say.
$116 Mercedes or BMWs. He said, I'll give you $1,000 less than that.
I'm a spud dealer, actually, not a drug dealer.
Right. So now, let's make
spuds.
It. Let's make it now a legitimate contract.
He looks like a spud dealer.
Okay, and we still don't trust each other, so we decide to produce evidence of our contract. I ask you to cut me grass and you
agree. That's great. Yeah.
That's now we want evidence of this contract, right? Okay. Well, who do we want the evidence of the contract for? Is it between you and I? We don't need evidence of a contract. If I ask you to cut my grass,
show somebody else.
Bingo.
Well, you want it for
it's to show to somebody else.
We want to enter that evidence on the record.
And why do we want to show it to somebody else? Because if you don't perform and I don't perform, you want the complaints department.
Exactly.
That doesn't exist on Mother Earth normally.
Yeah.
So you want somebody else to come in and
Ray Moran Heicher.
Interpleader.
You have to go to risk management on that one.
Is this how we get the interpleader?
Or by your municipal bonds. Okay. Or get risk management in.
So is this where interpleader gets into the whole situation? That we have a document and I bring the document to them and I say, hey, I have a complaint. And they say, well, you know, would you like to press charges? Not a complaint. I think I'm complaining, but actually I'm actually proffering charges.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. Now, I was talking about this earlier on the way up with Wild Hunt was giving me a lift. And we were talking about the way the policy enforcement officer, he doesn't actually make a complaint against you. He just proffers charges.
He is persuasion.
Persuasion. They can be quite persuasive, apparently.
They are. You can tell it every time.
So,
there's a, you know, like a, we found the haystacks on the way down here. We tried to find the needle in the haystack on the wrong road.
I believe the easiest way to jump in.
There's a haystack up here.
If you jump in, apparently you'll find it.
Joe is, he gave us absolution. We found the needle in the haystack. I don't know how you got here so quick.
Yeah, no, when the needle sticks in, you say, bless me.
You guys must have had a jet plane. Helicopter sitting over there in the field someplace. They got here. They pulled in right seconds after we did. They got off on the wrong highway.
So we had to drive around to the conk and everything.
We, of course, we were checking on you all the time. We actually were circling to where you had been.
We just did that to confuse you. Okay, so sorry, we are live on the radio here. Let's try and stick to what we're talking about. Now, we have a special guest with us here, and I'm looking at him now, and he doesn't look like he wants to come over, but he's who coming anyway. Sorry. Just for a minute to say hello. Come on. Folks, delighted to say and announce we have, well, I'll let him announce himself, and you'll recognize his voice the minute he talks.
How you doing, folks?
We're over in
Mullingar. It's been a busy, hectic day. Enjoyed meeting all the Irish lads, Mr. T here. I had a few hours sleep, still knackered, but we're getting there. Once I get a couple of refreshments, let's say, then we'll be sorted. So it's a good night from me. I'm going to pass you back out. I'm on holiday. Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, that's a cop-out. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. I'll be having a word with you later. So that was Gary Scottish Sovereign. Folks, don't forget to check out ScottishSovereignsOnTheLand.Ning.com. I'm amazed he didn't take that opportunity to get a plug in. He's leaving it to me. Okay. Well, listen, look, we're kind of just shooting the breeze here tonight. And, you know, I did have a plan. But as usual, plans go south. I was hoping Michael Tellinger would come on and have a word. No sign of him at the moment. I'm going to just go and check again. So I'm going to play a quick tune. Okay, so we're just going to try and deal with some of the comments on the chat box. Okay, so, yeah, apparently Kaz in Liverpool had a dream that you were going to fill in for her, whatever that means. Maybe Kaz will expand. Kaz, she's a very nice woman, and she's in Liverpool. And she had a dream about you, Mr. T, apparently. So... it's always a good sign when women are dreaming about you, right?
Right.
So there was a question. When the name is called, I'm assuming he means in the court, what is the first response from the one, or the person, who uses that name out of court? Now, being one, I don't know what you mean by out of court. Maybe you could expand on that one a little for me. Do you mean, perhaps, how would one respond appropriately when a name is announced in court? So I'm assuming... Out of court is what he has there. Maybe he'll clarify that. We'll just scroll down and see if he clarifies that now. Because I'm not exactly sure.
Does anyone else find it amazing that dreams...
Yeah, that was Kaz talking about the dream on the street. I'm not sure what he... Being one, look, if you want to call in, the number is 00353-144-3309. Or at Vincent Temp 1, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, T-E-M-P 1 on Skype. And maybe we can sort some there. Mr. T is just having a look at some of the comments here in the chat box, folks. So, look, I mean, I suppose this, when we use the name normally. Oh, okay, I think I know what he means now. When you use the name normally, you're not actually using a name. If I call Rashers... if he responds, apparently he's recognized me calling him. Now, if somebody else calls Rashers and he doesn't recognize the, you know, the voice calling him, well, then he may choose to ignore that and give no recognition. However, if you're in a courtroom scenario, you know, when somebody says something, if you think there's even a chance, they're talking in your general direction. You know, it's only polite, I suppose, your conduct. You know, we always seek to be harmonious and, you know, good conduct. It's only polite, really, to ask and to inquire. Is it an inquiry or an enquiry when you say, are you addressing me, Mr. T? What would you say? Would you call that an inquiry or an inquiry? When somebody responds, are you addressing me as a question, are you making an inquiry or an inquiry? You know, examination, investigation or inspection, what are we talking about here? If you were to try
you
and narrow it
down.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say it was more lean towards inquiry.
Who said it?
If you said it. If you say, are you addressing me? Are you
well,
making...
they got to give you an answer.
Yeah, but are you making an inquiry?
Yeah.
Or an inquiry?
Well,
I'd say more inquiry, yeah, Ian.
It really doesn't make a lot of difference, sir, asking you straight out. If
well, you could even just say it's a query.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's from the inquiring mind. It's from your mind, yeah.
They're just asking you a question about, are you addressing me?
Yeah.
And they're going to usually say yes, so we don't have to give you an answer. Whatever they say, you can just ask them if it's, you know, since there's no, they're trying to get you into the civil and the criminal jurisdiction, get evidence on the record of what they're asking you. They got to give you, they'll say, well, it's my courtroom. I can do whatever and say whatever I want to in here. If you do ask me that question one more time or answer it that way, I'll find you in contempt.
Yeah, they do like the old contempt thing. That's one of their favorite, what would you call it? Tools, intellectual tools. They do like the contempt thing. They like to confound you with contempt, folks. So, contempt as an issue. If he says, if you respond or if you answer that again, and, you know, how are you going to respond? So, well, you only really have one response, really, I suppose. You can't keep silent. You got to say something. You can't say yes and you can't say no, because then you're putting down testimony one way or the other. So an appropriate response, Mr. T.
If I say it's I want to know. A lot of times they say, I want to know. Well, who are you? You know, you say, well, who are you?
Yeah, who's asking, right?
Yeah. They'll say, well, I'm a judge. This is my courtroom. Well, this is a civil or criminal. So see, what they're trying to do is get you into the criminal jurisdiction.
Why do they want you in criminal as opposed to civil?
They're trying to get you to commit to a capital criminal crime.
No,
because they can't deal with you in the civil.
Exactly, because there's no fines and penalties in the civil. There's nothing to. There's no benefit for them.
No, they can't. They can't operate.
Particularly if there's no contract, right?
They can't operate over there.
So if there's no contract in place, the civil aspect, which they know most likely they are aware there's no contract in place. So they want to shift you to criminal, because in criminal, if you incriminate yourself,
they don't want to do anything. You do it to yourself.
Yeah, if you implicate yourself in the whole thing, they'll allow you to do so, because they don't want to interfere with you doing your thing. That's how they remain impartial, right?
No, they can't violate your constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm. And the reason that. Some people find that difficult, I think, they get squared away in their mind, this idea that, you know, some people go in there and they start talking about demanding constitutional rights. And if you make the demand, you're actually causing the problem just by making a demand. Whereas if you keep your trap shut and make no demands, they grant them to you, they assume you already have them, right?
Yeah, act appropriately and promptly, because if you make a pause, why they're going to say, well, we assume that he agreed with what we're saying, or what we're implementing. So your silence will be more or less a confession, or a remedy for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's evidence on the record.
Okay, just somebody here being one is considering calling in, so if you want to, being one, by all means. That would be great. I'm just typing a response back there to him on Skype. So, still no response from Michael Tellinger. The operation. Oh, here we go. We're going to have him in now. Hopefully he has his radio turned off. How you doing, sir? Being one, can you hear us okay? You're live now.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay.
And now hopefully he has his radio turned off. You have the radio on. Just turn the radio on, sir. Being one, can you hear us okay?
I can.
Live now. Yeah.
Hello?
Okay, hopefully he'll turn the radio off. There's what happens, folks, if you call in and you're listening to us on the radio. You're generally, there's usually a 30 or 40 second delay sometimes. It's not that I'm delaying the signal. It just takes 30 or 40 seconds from what I say to go through internet wonderland and to get to the loudspeakers you're in. That's really all that's happening there. Okay, that should be okay. So, okay. Basically, what we're going through here is the importance of your response. Your response is what drives the whole thing, you see. When they ask you a question, that's a position of impartiality. Now, I know a lot of people have difficulty with this when I say those guys are up there are impartial. But when you realize, well, they asked the question, and your response depends on what happens next. It's all down to you. If you respond inappropriately, or from a position whereby you don't fully understand the language you're using, or you don't know the effect it's going to have on them, you're the one who's putting yourself in, let's just say, a position where you're going to feel, let's just say, the pressure. You know, it's. Yeah, that's what he should be doing, John. Thank you. Yes, turn off your radio and listen through Skype. What I'll do, I'm going to try and see if I can get being one again. So I'll just play a quick tune and maybe we can try and work it out that way, because I think it's a valid point he wants to make. And what I'll do in the meantime, I'm just going to pick a random tune. And what have we got here? Okay. There we go. Bit of David Gray. Okay, so I'm going to just try that call again, folks, back after this. And welcome back to tnsradio.ning.com, and we are joined by Being One on the line now, and we have the problem sorted out. You can hear us okay, Being One, yep?
I can, yeah, and I'd like to say hello to all the thousands of people listening.
Well, wonderful to have you here. So Mr. T is here with me beside me now. Can you put that question to Mr. T, perhaps?
I can. Hello, Mr. T.
Hi.
Well, put the headphones on there, and you'll hear them better. Okay, Mr. T has the headphones on now. Can you hear now? Okay. Now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, so my question is, basically when my name is introduced to the court, my response to that would be, as Vin said, he came here without a witness. I would point to the person that said that, I'd assume, and would I say that, you know, that person came here without a witness? Like, I'm just trying to find out what the appropriate response to that would be. How do I counter that? Am I making sense?
Yeah, how do you respond to when you ask a person about the competent witness?
Yeah, well, I think basically what he's saying here is, if somebody calls the name in the court, other than, say, the clerk of the court, or say, let's say, a guard or something, they call the name, or the clerk of the court calls the name, and he stands up and he says, objection, he came here without a witness.
Well, that's what you say, the defendant.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying, being one, yeah?
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, I'm not exactly sure the proceedings, you know, the dialogue that's going to occur. So I'm just sort of trying to figure out exactly the appropriate response for me. You know, that'll sort of neutralize this
decision. Well, he's going to ask you what you're objecting about. Right?
He's going to say, basically, so yeah, the judge guy is going to ask, what's your objection? So what's your objection? You stand up and you say, objection. What is objection. Your objection?
He came here without a witness.
Okay, so why is that? Why does that make sense to you, or does that not make sense to you?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me.
I mean, that's what you're going to ask him.
Yeah.
Is there a competent witness here? So he's got to give you an answer.
But I could say this man doesn't have first-hand knowledge who I am.
Yeah, that's first-hand knowledge, because you're the only one that has it, because they're trying to get subject matter jurisdiction from you.
So could I say that? Could I say this man doesn't have first-hand knowledge who I am?
Well, he already knows that, so you really don't have to mention it.
Okay.
He might try to test you further, though.
Yeah, he might persuade you say it's a rule, or just by courtroom, or you're a big snatch, or you might say anything.
So
regardless of what he says, he's going to try to confuse you.
So my best response there would be just remain silent, like while he's saying that.
Well, no, don't remain silent, because then that way they'll assume that you're accepting what they're saying, and then evidence on the record.
Yeah, but you see, the objection, when you object, the actual objection is kind of like a stop button. You know, you've just clicked stop, and they must address the objection.
Well, they got to address you every question you ask them.
Yeah.
So they say, is Mr. X here? They say, Mr. X. And I would stand up and I would say, I object.
Right.
Okay, and then the judge would probably say, well, what are you objecting about?
Right.
Why object? And then I would turn around and my response to that would be, this man came here without a witness.
Right.
Would that be an appropriate response?
Absolutely. Well, then he's probably going to go ballistic.
Well, I hope I had somebody there with the door held open.
Okay, no, I think, he will go ballistic, you see. But really, when they go ballistic, a lot of people take that as a bad sign. I actually take that as a good sign.
Exactly.
That means you're having an effect.
Yeah.
Now, he's about to start giving you the 1, 2, 3. And the 1, 2, 3 is he's going to look for your weakness, basically. Now, if you show weakness... And, what would you call it, bad conduct, he'll have you. Demeanor. Yeah, demeanor, your how you handle yourself. Now, this is where, you see, if you hear something like this, and you just go and use it, and you haven't gone and researched it, and you haven't looked up what the words mean, you're going to find out the hard way that you didn't really know what those words meant to them. What they mean to you is one thing, you see.
In silence.
What they mean to them is another. In their silence is deadly.
Remain silent, then you just walk out of there.
So basically, after I'd say he came here without a witness and then the judge loses the plot.
Well, let's say he laughs or something, or he hammers the desk, or, he does something. If he doesn't respond to you, that should tell you something.
Right.
Now, it's important that you get last word in. Can you talk about the last word, Mr. T? Why the last word is important?
So far, I've had the last word.
Well, you've had the last word so far. So apparently,
if he remains silent, then you get the hell out of there.
If he remains silent, apparently...
A 180 and get the hell...
Yeah, apparently your business... apparently you're done.
Front door.
Apparently you're finished.
Your case is over.
It's gone. There was no case. Nothing to talk about anymore. He's not interested in any more dialogue.
Okay.
And I understand. Look, we're here. We're having a few drinks. But this is a very serious matter.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of people. You have to understand, I suppose, that the intellectual position you're in compared to the intellectual position he's in. He knows what's going on, most likely. Most likely, you're the one who doesn't know what's going on. You only have a kind of a half of a notion, which is probably the best position to be in one way. Because
he's not a very intellectual.
These guys are basically...
they're morons.
Academic. I mean, they're learned.
Well,
learned.
They practice their craft in there. I'll put it to you that way.
Nobody can get a job there. They take those jobs, so nobody else will take them.
I'd take one.
But they don't want to accept the liability. They
no, it's not about liability. It's not. It's about how you respond.
It's about evidence.
Sorry, this is Wild Hunt is just throwing a question in there from the floor.
It's about evidence. Why? What kind of a case you got on?
Well, basically, I was stopped for not displaying, you know, proper, I guess, tax.
What?
Tax.
I wasn't displaying
car tax
in the car.
Not displaying car tax.
I was not asked to produce my tax. The guard simply just gave me a ticket for non-display of tax.
Ticket, yeah. Okay. That's a default.
Yeah, default, yeah.
Serious crime, you know.
Yeah, you're a terrorist. They should lock you up and throw away the key.
Yeah.
Richie says the death penalty. I think that's a little harsh myself.
So, I mean, that's what happened. And,
I went in.
At a hearing.
To a hearing.
You said. My hearing is next month.
Okay. On, what did you say, tax? Or?
Yeah, car tax.
Car tax, yeah. Non-displayable car tax. Now, he didn't ask me, was the vehicle taxed?
He's just lining up you for the judge, that's all. That's our job.
Oh, yeah. Pay off.
He just works for the, you know, state. He's just lining up for you to go to a meeting with some judge to give your...
I understand that, but initially I didn't pay any of the fines. I returned the summons to the guard that stopped me, and then I received a fine in the post, you know, imprisonment or seizure of goods, you know. So basically I went back in and I got another hearing. I just told them basically that I wasn't around, that I wasn't available for the original or the initial summons and hearing, so they rescheduled my hearing. So now I have to do it again.
Well, you get a little practice that way.
Yeah. You know, so... I mean,
it's really got nothing to do with what you did out there, or didn't do.
That's important. Can we get to that point? Because I think a lot of people don't realize, when they come to a courtroom situation, and they say, for example, oh, you have no tax disc. The pips are not on my end. I think being one, have you got the pips on the chat box on TNS turned on your end? If you wouldn't mind just turning them off. You see, they don't bring the tax disc in. They don't bring the vehicle in. They don't bring the car in. They don't bring anything in. They ask you. And if you were to say to them, well, hey, I don't see anything. How can you make a judgment on something you don't see? You see, they ask you, they put you in a position where they ask you to make the judgment because they understand and know you're sovereign. Most likely, you don't understand and know. I mean, I don't mean you personally, but, you know, in general terms, most people don't realize.
Yeah.
That's why they ask you. Only you can tell them. They want you to give to them because they're trying to serve you.
I mean, Full Moon says, give it all back, don't even bother going. I mean, I did that initially, and they made a judgment in my absence. Because I was actually there in the courtroom.
Right, but that should tell you something. The very fact that they can make a judgment in your absence.
Exactly. It means, like, it has nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
So, basically, but they can still come and arrest me.
Well, you mean like a Garda or somebody shows up, a guy in a blue suit shows up and says, are you such and such?
Well, I'll say no.
Right, but that's a dispute, you see. So now he's going to grab a hold of you, just in case.
Yeah, they'll say, well, it's our understanding that you are such and such.
Right, but you see, really what you should be asking him is he addressing you?
To the guard at the door.
Sure.
You know, and I said, you're the first to the door.
Yeah, I mean, why open the door? I don't even open up either. Well, that's the way I do it. I don't open up.
Well, see, I'm just living at home with the folks at the minute, so...
Right, but I mean, if he gets to a door, shall we say, if somebody opens up the door, Apparently, you want to talk to him.
Yeah, you ask yourself. There's two rules to that. Are you lonely?
Am I lonely?
I knew that was coming.
Is that an offer?
Well, you see, if you're feeling lonely, go talk to the guy.
You're going
to
have.
You won't be lonely for long, as they say. Sorry, we are having a bit of fun here as well. I know this is a serious thing for you.
I mean, it's not serious in the sense that, like, no crime has been committed. There's no victim. I'm aware of that aspect. It's just the fact that, you know, the fact that they can forcibly come in or try and arrest me, you know, against my will and under duress, protest, and sort of take me away. Yeah, that's my only concern. Now, I just don't want to play their game, ultimately. You know, it's just, I just want to try and
explore. You don't sound like a criminal to me.
Oh, I'm not a criminal.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, interrupt. No, it's just that you don't really, you don't want to answer your door unless you got an appointment or you know your girlfriend.
I think he lives with the mother and father still, you see. Mm-hmm. He's in somebody else's, under somebody else's roof.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are complications that can occur or arise.
Yeah, different precautionary measures.
Yeah.
They're aware of what I'm doing. My father is anyway. I mean, I'm only here temporarily. So,
We're all here.
But you don't want to get involved in this extracurricular activity.
Well, yeah, he's interested, but it's the other half, his other half, wouldn't be too aware about it, and she'd stress out, and I wouldn't want to put her under any duress or any stress, I should say.
The mother and father, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so in other words, that's an interesting thing. So, for example, in other words, Mr. T, what he's saying here is, if it's your own roof and your own door and your own home, if you will, that's one thing, but if you're living under the, let's just say, by the graces of another, and the guards come to their door and they open up and you're inside, how do you deal with that?
You should have thought about that before you got stopped on the road or you did this type of activity.
So was he better off going in there maybe and dealing with
it? You should have thought of your mommy and daddy.
I mean, but that's, I don't think that's an issue. The fact that I'm there, I mean, if the guards come to the door...
You have to do is nip that in the butt when you go to a hearing or a trial, okay?
Yeah, I'd just like to, to finish it.
I don't know why you're screwing around with it.
I should have...
Get in there and sort it. Okay.
I was given advice initially and I took it and I decided not to use it.
Well, that's fine.
You know, so I won't give any names, but you know who. So... I've decided to take a different course now, and that's the course that I'm taking now is to actually go into court and sort of deal with the matter at hand.
In other words, you're going to head them off at the pass. In other words, rather than have them come out to your mother and father's door, you want to go in there and deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I could just wait here and I go with them, and I just. They probably might arrest me and take me in and let me out next day. Who knows? Or they might not.
It's over tax.
A guy locally was put in prison for a few days for not paying his dog license. So, I mean, they're capable of anything.
So what did he say about it?
What's that?
What did he say about it?
Well, he said he had an awful experience in Mountjoy in Dublin.
And you mean Mountjoy?
Mountjoy Prison.
I don't think I'd get myself in that position.
I think that's what he's talking about. He wants to try to deal with this, and he doesn't want to end up paying a visit into that place known as Mountjoy. So, I hear what you're saying being one. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the whole, we don't do advice, we just kind of discuss.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, from that position, Mr. T, in other words, let's imagine this is a theoretical question. So, in theory, if a guy wants to deal with this situation and he goes into what they call a meeting, what some man will call his courtroom, and they call this matter, and you ask, well, are you addressing me? And they say, well, are you Mr. Such and Such?
And, before I even say that, then, are you addressing me? You know, I'd have to actually acknowledge the fact that my name, or the name that I use, is being used in court.
No, that's not what's happening. I know it sounds like that, but really, when they call, Mr. X, step forward. You know, I think a lot of people are nervous about stepping forward. But it's okay to actually step forward. Would you agree with that, Mr. T? It's okay to step forward, because until you've opened your mouth, all you've done is stepped forward. I mean, anybody could step forward. Because this, basically, because the construct is seeking, initially it's a commercial or a civil route, and then once they get the contact with the civil aspect, that's when they kind of do the switch route to the criminal. So the initial offer, if you will, to just step forward, that's okay. But until you open your mouth, usually we open our mouths and we say real stupid stuff, generally. But when you step forward and you ask, are you addressing me? See, that's your flesh and blood. That's a different ball game. He'll know what's going on at that point, and he'll have to be either real careful, or he'll decide to test you. Now, if these guys decide to test you, you really got to know your ABC 1, 2, 3. You know, because these guys are experts, linguistic experts, really. And your response can determine where you go. Their response, let's face it, they're not going anywhere. They're not the guys who end up going to prison, you know. So your response has to be appropriate, timely, passive, and appropriate, on point. Yeah, on point. So, in other words, I know there's a lot of guys go in there and say, "Oh, it's an Admiralty Court. It's a, you know, it doesn't." I don't believe any of that matters. What matters is what they say to you and how you respond. That's really what it's all about. Where they're coming from, who cares where they're coming from? If any man can respond appropriately to any other man, then there is no other, then there's no other issue.
And they are going to tell you when to walk out, when it's over.
Precisely.
Sometimes they might get up and walk out. Sometimes they might get up and say, next case.
Or adjournment, be back at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that's another one.
Well, if you show up at what you believe 2 o'clock is, apparently you've just contracted again. Whereas if you say, well, okay, it's all over. Apparently my business is done here today, and you just walk out, you're done. A lot of the time they try to trick people. A solicitor might run up behind you, tip you on the shoulder and say, oh, that's a trick, you have to go back in, he's trying to trick you. Well, actually, the guy telling you that is the guy who's trying to trick you. He's the trickster right there.
So basically, when we all...
He ain't going in with you. He's not going to share any liability on that trick.
So when we all receive a summons, it usually says a time that we should be there in court. Just say like 10:30. Now, everybody that's in court that day receives the same time. Okay. So basically, is that because they want everybody to be in the courtroom at the same time to stand when the judge walks in? So basically, we're all standing under the authority of the judge, the jurisdiction of the judge.
I'll be honest, I don't worry about the whole stand-up, sit-down routine. You know when they say, Mr. T, everybody all rise and everybody stands up.
Yeah, so I was just going to wait. No, that's all.
I never considered that a big deal, to be honest. Because you haven't said anything. Your conduct is just up to that point. It's really only
that's just for the bar.
Social graces. That's all.
The bar and all the lawyers, solicitors, they bow.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to stand up if you don't want to. I mean, they're not actually addressing you. They say, all rise. Well, if you are all, I suppose you better get your ass out of the chair. But most likely...
on YouTube, where basically people have been done for contempt for not standing. And then for not sitting also.
Well, the way I've always operated...
It's mainly when they call your name, that's when your ass is on the line.
I've never been sitting in there, so, I've always been standing.
If they tell you to sit down, why tell them you feel more, you can think better standing up.
There you go. Offer, counter offer.
If you sit down, they might have that in the charges, and that'll be the consent or the assent to your prison sentence or fine, penalty, whatever. So they usually put that right in the charges. They'll give you a charge, and then they'll say sit down at the end of it. And so it's part of the full stop.
Yeah, see, we don't know what's... Basically, what we're trying to get across here, I think, what Mr. T is saying, we don't know what's in their mind.
Right.
We don't know what the hell that guy is thinking. We've no way of knowing. And if you make a presumption or an assumption, you might be making the... You might be the one making the error, if you will.
Okay.
Well, see, yeah.
So, I think
out.
Maybe what we should do. it's something I think I'd rather discuss with you when when maybe we might have a bit of a quieter time.
Sure.
I don't know if you're getting an awful lot of it, what's been said to you tonight. I don't know if you're actually. I don't know if it's sinking in with you. Is it ringing any bells anywhere?
No, it is definitely. It's definitely ringing in. It's just as you said. Like I'd not have. You know, better knowledge of what it is I'd have to say and how to respond, you know, and not to incriminate myself by saying something stupid, you know, in response or like reacting to something the judge said to me.
Yeah, it's very easy to incriminate yourself, very easy. In fact, if you relate to anything pretty much, if you point at something and say, that's a glass of wine, or that's a pencil pair or a pencil. That's you're basically making an accusation.
Yeah, you're making a statement that you have to back up.
Yeah, and you see, you can't. I mean, can you even time itself? I mean, you know, this idea of time. I mean, if I say to you, what time is it? And if you'd say to me, well, it's 10 o'clock, Ben. And if I say, are you sure? And you say, yes. Well, I can now sue you and I'm going to win. I can sue you because I can say, well, I asked you, were you sure? You told me you were sure. And it turned out it was 11 o'clock. And that caused me a commercial injury. So I'm going to sue you. And you know, he'll say to you, did you tell him you were sure? And if you say, yes, I told him I was sure, well, then that your goose is cooked.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, being one. I'm just going to play a tune.
What is his last question?
Oh, Mr. T, sorry. Do you want to put that last question to Mr. T again?
My last question. Oh, I don't think I didn't really have one. No, I just had the one question, Mr. T. Just initially, you know, basically when the name is called, you know, how do I, you know, respond to that? What's my initial appropriate approach to that? That's basically what I wanted to know.
Well, who's calling? Who's asking you that question?
Well, I'm in court and I hear my name.
No, you hear it by who?
By a clerk or somebody that's in front of the judge, or maybe even the judge himself.
Very
or himself. So, I mean, we can talk about this again.
Well, whenever somebody other than the judge speaks to you, you just object.
I just object straight away. I object.
So if the clerk speaks to him?
Well, anybody other than the judge.
A guard if you call it.
They might be reading these bullshit terms off when you walk in there, walk up there, with their Bibles and their New Testament. You object, the judge is probably going to say it's a state, or they got authority, some road acts, plan, or... Maybe something, the statute they're going to put into effect, 14 years from now.
Did I say, well, who are you to object?
You're objecting to that, okay?
I'll say I object, and then the judge will turn around.
Well,
he
might say, who are you to object to it? Well, what are you going to answer him? You're going to say, well, it's a criminal. He's going to have to give you an answer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do if he says it's civil, or it's, well, usually they say criminal?
If I said, show me the contract.
Well, that's civil.
Let's see, if he says, yeah, this is a civil court.
I asked you if he says it's criminal.
Who's the victim?
You know, that wouldn't be a contemptible issue when you're bringing up. So that's giving them over and above what they're asking for. And you're causing a dispute or controversy there when you make that, you know, type of, suggestion or comment.
So
remember, you're dealing with, you ask him a question of civil or criminal.
Okay. And the judge says...
And he's got to give you an answer. See, that's the key that screws you up in there, isn't it?
Let's imagine he says it's criminal.
Right, that's what...
So, the guy goes in, is it civil or criminal? And the response from the guy in the high chair is, it's...
Yeah, wait for his response.
Okay, so let's say he responds and he says, criminal. Then what?
Well, you look him in the eye, mm-hmm. ask him if he's got a complaint against you.
There you go.
I said, do you have a complaint against me?
Right. But you got to look him in the eye when you say it. But when he's not speaking, when he speaks to you, you always look more or less, you know, away from him. Because if you look him in the eye, he's going to hypnotize you. And they do that medium bullshit in there. It's ceremonial, okay?
Okay.
So never look at him when they're speaking.
And if I'll say, do you have a complaint against me? And he's going to look at me, or she will look at me.
Well, don't look at him. Just look at his bust. He might have a big set of boobies on him.
Look him straight in the chin. Look him straight in the chin.
Look at his chin. Don't look at his eyes. But when you address him, you look at his eyes and tell him, he's a civil or criminal. Because he's got to give you an answer to that.
And, you know, when I say, do you have a complaint against me, what would you think would be the likely response from that?
He might just go berserk. He might even have a convulsion.
Yeah, I make my exit.
Well, what you want to do at that point is, just answer his response. If he stays silent and rolls back in his chair and doesn't... answer you. You better do a 180 and get the hell out of there.
Because apparently there's no complaint.
Because there's no complaint against you.
If he had a complaint, he'd say.
He'd say it. He'd answer your question.
Okay, so basically the prosecuting Garda, you know.
Well, you don't pay any attention. I mean, you're in there talking to the judge.
Yeah, the guard does nothing. That's the thing a lot of people forget. And that's for you, Mr. T.
I need a drink.
Yeah, sure. I'll get you a bottle.
Sure, there's plenty of drinks there.
Oh, no. You're on the other end. You don't get any of this stuff.
Well, I'm drinking here, too.
Here, I got a glass.
Yeah, there was a glass there a second. Yep, just behind. There we go.
Okay. Ben, you know, I think that's good for now. See, somebody said that Michael Tellinger has just come to the Skype box.
Uh-huh.
So, I'd like to hear what he has to say.
How are we doing time-wise? No, he's still off on my Skype. Well, to be honest, it's 20 to 11, and I actually wasn't going to go too much further tonight, folks, because, the day that's in it and all that. I think I want to sit back and relax and have a drink and a chat here, if that's okay, which is all. Because there's a lot of other guys having fun, and I'm sitting here talking, not drinking.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
We had a good meet up today up in Argyll and Castle. And were you by any chance? Are you the chap I was talking to earlier?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Now I got you. Now I know who you are.
I was on the left hand side of you.
There we go. He was up in the castle with us today. He was talking. Nice chap. He's the guy that owes you money.
I was the guy that offered him one of those.
He owes you money, apparently. I'm joking.
Yeah. I'm the brother of the fella at Mr. T that ate your burger.
No, but we won't We don't talk about that on the air. He was there with you today, yeah, he was talking. Well, listen, being one, I'm going to play a song.
Okay. Good.
I appreciate it.
Greetings.
Thank you, Mr. T.
We'll talk to you later. Folks, I'm going to play a song until we work out what the hell is going on here. Back after this. And we're back. Welcome back to tnsradio.ning.com. Time check 22:42 apparently. And we, as you can tell, a lot of activity going on here. Mr. T being boisterous in the background, talking over me, all sorts of things going on. trying to do me best here, folks, having a broadcast tonight. It's difficult, though. It's difficult. I got people talking at me from all directions. What I'll do is tomorrow afternoon, if being one will call me again live on the air, we'll try to go through some of those issues, kind of pick our way through them slowly, because I think it's an important issue that a lot of people need to get squared away in their mind. It is simple, but I can understand how because of the training, if you will, the education that you've received, this way of thinking most likely hasn't been imparted to you. But once it actually gets in there, it actually lodges in, and it does not move easily. Now, it can be coerced out of you, and you know, under duress particularly, they like to say they're assisting you or whatever. But, you know, you got to forget that stuff. You see, some people go in there and they think, hey, that guy hurt me, this guy hurt me. They want to complain. If you complain to somebody, then you're granting something to them. You are putting them in a position above you. Because why would you complain to somebody below you? You might bitch and whinge to somebody who's below you in status, but you don't complain to them. If you're complaining to somebody, it's because you feel they're in a position above you and that they can find a resolution for you because you're under them. They have greater authority, if you will, more power, control. And, you know, I just don't think that's a position I ever want to be in again. I don't think I can ever get into that position again. I think once you fully understand where all this stuff kind of, where the rubber meets the road on that issue, I don't think you'll ever end up in that position again. folks, as I say, you know, it's real difficult to concentrate here tonight and focus because there's all sorts of things happening around me. Unless Siri would like to come on and say hello, would you? No, she wouldn't, apparently. So, I tell you, look, I'm going to play a song and I'm going to call it a night, folks, because it's getting rowdy here. And I want to sit back and relax. So if any of the other guys are listening and they want to take on a show, do a broadcast, by all means, be my guest. I'd say, Iho August Kolosov, you've been listening to a part show, live from Mullingar, and talk to you tomorrow.